Good morning. Welcome to everybody out there that's watching us online. I got to say today, as Father's Day, I got to welcome all the fathers that are watching and happy Father's Day. I also got to say a huge congratulations to our graduates this year. You know, just about an hour ago up on top of the hill there, we have our drive-in service. We got to recognize all of our graduates, and it was really good to see them. So for the ones that wasn't at the drive-in service, I got to say welcome and also congratulations to you. If you're out there, if you're watching this and you're a graduate of 2020, congratulations. You know, this past Monday morning, I was sitting on my back porch really early, had coffee in one hand, had a Bible in the other, doing my morning devotions, and I started praying. Even before I started into my devotions, I started praying, Lord, lay something on my heart for today's message. And I do that quite frequently, but I really got caught up in the moment and really started praying for today. Really started praying that the Lord really lay something heavy on my heart. And I had been reading, and still am, I'm reading the book of Acts from my personal devotions, and I'd read through a few of the chapters, and I'd prayed this prayer, and I kept continuing to read. So, a few chapters in, and I'm still reading, and I got to chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. And I read through 19, and then I came to a stop, and I went back. And I got to verse 10, and I read it over again. And I knew then that this was what the Lord was wanting me to bring today. Now, the ironic thing in it all is, if you're familiar with Acts chapter 9, this is where we see the conversion from Saul to Paul. Remember the story? Saul's on the road to Damascus. He's heading to Jerusalem, or he's heading to Damascus to look for Christians to collect, to put in jail, to look for him to put in prison, and God stops him. Bright light, right? And this is the beginning of chapter 9. Now, I didn't get sucked up into the story until verse 10. Now, it got my attention in verses 10 through 19. It's when Ananias comes into the picture. You say, Anna who? Ananias. Stay with me now. Ananias. Ananias was the man that God called to help Saul. After God blinded Saul on the road to Damascus, God came to Ananias and said, I need you to go and help Saul. Now get this. In today's scripture, we're going to read here in just a few minutes, this is the only story that Ananias has ever mentioned in the Bible. And that's what I got hung up on. We've got the entire story of the conversion from Saul to Paul, and I get hung up on Ananias. The little story of Ananias is only recognition in the entire Bible. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've titled today's message, Have Faith, Be Obedient, and Stay Committed. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to sit on my back porch and to pray and to just say, Lord, fill me with your will. Give me the words that you want me to speak, and just lay that on my heart. And then being able to come as your under-shepherd and just share those words. Just share the story, share that joy that you filled me up with and the energy that you filled me up with this past week. As always, Lord, I ask you to open our hearts, our eyes, and our mind to the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks in our life. Give us the words that the Holy Spirit's speaking, not so much the words that I'm talking. Lord, thank you again so much for the fathers and Father's Day, the godly fathers that are here with us and the ones that have already gone beyond. Lord, and I thank you so much for our graduates. I pray for those graduates, give them the wisdom, the direction that they're going to need for the rest of their life, but the vulnerable moments that they've got right here and right now. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Please do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9. Now I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I want to go ahead and get the entire story. Now my focus is on verses 10 through 19, but we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 9. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read 1 through 19. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, capital W, talking about Christianity, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Then the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anything. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see a thing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat, nor he did drink anything. Now here's where the verse got interesting for me. This is where I really got sucked into it, starting in verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call you by name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, this was probably one of the most influential events in the early church history. The calling of the apostle, Paul. The conversion of Saul to Paul. Now let me give you a little bit of history leading up to our scripture reading this morning. Christ was crucified in A.D. 29. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later. The book of Acts opens up as Christ, right after Christ risen from the dead and his back on earth. In the very first chapter of Acts, the risen Lord, he commissions his disciples to go and to preach the gospel throughout the world, all the while being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, 50 days later, we see the power of the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Peter preached one of the greatest sermons of all time, and the church starts. And as the book of Acts unfolds, we get to chapter 7, we see the very first Christian martyr. We see Stephen is stoned to death. And this is where we see the introduction of Saul of Tarsus, and then later to become Paul. We learn that Saul actually gave approval of Stephen's death, going so far to hold the coats of the men that were stoning him. Right? Paul hates the church, hates everything it stands for. He's persecuting Christians and he's throwing them in prison. Not exactly the person the church was hoping to convert, right? yet God had other plans. Now this brings us to this morning's reading. Saul's on his way to Damascus. He's looking for more Christians to arrest. Take them to Jerusalem. Throw them in prison. But God stopped him in his tracks. He was blinded by the presence of God and was led by hand into Damascus with no earthly idea what was going to happen. And now here's where Ananias comes into the picture. This is where our message is going to come from this morning. The Lord speaks to Ananias. Now imagine the initial excitement. Imagine with me that initial joy that Ananias must have felt when the Lord calls on him through a vision. Now imagine in my mind, I imagine the conversation goes something like this. The Lord says, Ananias. And Ananias says, yes, Lord. The Lord says, Ananias, I got a job for you to do. I got a pretty high profile job I need for you to do. And Ananias is like, wow, I'm here, Lord. Whatever you want, just let me know. And the Lord says, I want you to go and I want you to speak to someone of very, very importance. And Ananias is excited, right? He says, great. Is it the governor? Right? Lord, is it the senator? Lord, maybe it's a group of people, just like Peter spoke to at Pentecost. Is that it? Is that it, Lord? And the Lord says, actually, no. I need for you to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, Lord, I want to make sure I heard you right. Did you say go speak to Saul of Tarsus? Did I hear you correctly? Did you say Saul of Tarsus? Not Saul of somebody else? And the Lord says, yes, Ananias, go and speak to Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias, we see him verse 13 and 14, he says, Lord, are you sure you know who Saul of Tarsus is? I mean, he's a bad man. He's persecuting Christians. And the Lord responds, I'm asking you to go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and to their kings and before the people of Israel. And Ananias obeyed, and the rest is history. Shortest sermon ever, right? I don't think so. You see, the history of the church was radically changed at that point. Ananias, his obedience was part of the chain of events and God's plan that brought each of you here today. Ananias' obedience was part of the chain of events and God's plan that brought you here. If you're watching this, if you're listening, if you was up at our drive-in service a little earlier, all of this chain of events was part of God's plan that brought y'all here. Now this man Ananias, he stuck out to me for a couple different reasons. And I want to take a look at a couple of them this morning. This story, it can not only help our graduates, our new 2020 graduates, it can also help our fathers, it can help our church, it can also help every single person watching. The very first conclusion that I made of Ananias is this. He had a relationship with God. Ananias, he wasn't afraid to speak to God. If you get down to it, Ananias, he was actually trying to reason with God. Call it reason, call it argue. In verse 13 and 14, we see Ananias was actually trying to explain to God who Saul was. Like God didn't know. He was having an interactive conversation with the Lord. And what I mean by interactive, it was a two-way conversation. Ananias was speaking, and then he was listening for the Lord's response. This indicates to me that he had an intimate relationship with God. He prayed. He knew his God. Now, you might not be called to be a preacher. You might not be called to be a missionary. You might not be called to be a TV evangelist. But you have the right as a child of God to pray and know your God. And just as important as it is as speaking to God, to praying, it's also important to listen to God. Take the time to listen to God. If we get in the habit of doing that, you know what else will happen? You get used to hearing His voice, knowing His voice when He speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. And understand that God's response, listen to this, God's response doesn't always make sense. And it's not always going to be something that you agree with. But God's not asking you to make sense of it. He's not asking you to agree with it. He just needs you to step out in faith. That brings me to my second conclusion of Ananias. Ananias, he was obedient. He was a committed man. He was a man of faith. So let me ask you a few questions. Do you think it made sense to Ananias that God was going to use a persecutor? Do you think it was going to make sense that God was going to use a person that was filled with hate? Somebody that didn't agree with him. They didn't think alike. Do you think that Ananias thought that God was going to use someone that helped murder Christians in his ultimate plan? Do you think that Ananias liked the idea of seeking out this man? Talking with him, laying his hands on him, praying for him. Do you think Ananias was excited when he learned what God wanted him to do? I don't think so. You see, we learn from 13 and 14 that old Ananias, he wasn't pumped up about God's plan. He wasn't excited with what the Lord wanted him to do, but he followed through with it because he was obedient and he was a committed believer. Ananias, he put his life on the line by obeying God. He was committed to God. And he wasn't just involved with God. Let me say it again. He was committed to God. He wasn't just involved with God. Now you might be thinking, Donnie, okay, what's the big deal? What's the difference between the two? Well, I'm glad you asked. A good analogy between commitment and involvement is bacon and eggs. You say, Donnie, you done lost your mind. Well, I knew that a long time ago. The difference between commitment and involvement is the same as bacon and eggs. You see, you've got bacon and you got eggs. The hen, she's involved, but that pig, he's committed. God is interested in your faith. God is interested in your obedience, and God is interested in your commitment. If we want church, let me take it to a whole nother level. If we want a revival in our community, if we want a revival in our county, if we want a revival in our state, in our country, in this world, then we have to get away from the mentality that says, here I am, Lord. You know what? Send him. Because what God has called you to do, He will equip you to do. So graduates, God's calling you to be a part of His will. And most of the time, it is not going to make sense. But God's asking you to have faith, be obedient, and stay committed. Fathers, God's got a plan for your life, and it starts with your family. Where the father goes, so shall the family follow. Let me say it again. Where the father goes, so shall the family follow. Have faith, be obedient, and stay committed to God's will for your life. Church, God's got a powerful purpose for His church. Is it always going to be easy? Are you always going to agree with everything that goes on? Is the pastor's sermon always going to be short and powerful? No. Not going to happen. But we are called to have faith. We are called to be obedient. And we are called to stay committed. Stay committed to God's plans, God's wills. And always remember, what God has called you to do, He will equip you to do. Amen? But you need to know something. When you make a difference for God, when you have faith, when you are obedient, and when you are committed, the enemy is going to come against you, and it always begins with fear. It always starts with fear. Fear is one of the greatest barriers that's going to stand in the way of God's plan for your life. Did you realize that? Fear is the greatest thing that's going to stand in the way of God's will being done in your life. Why? Because we're afraid to step out in faith. We're afraid of being obedient. And we're afraid of commitment. You say, Donnie, you're right. Right? You're right, because I don't want to fail. I don't want to be scared of getting it wrong. I don't want to make the mistakes. Listen to me. I wasn't overeager to be a pastor. I had a very comfortable job with a very comfortable life. I made the decision to be your pastor, not because I wanted to, but because that's what God wanted me to do. I didn't get it all right from the beginning. But I stepped out in faith. I've been your pastor for 4 years now, and guess what? I still don't get it right. I still make mistakes, and I'm here to tell you that I'm going to make mistakes in the future. But I also know God is calling me to be better and to grow. And with growth comes mistakes, and that's fine. If you never make mistakes, then it means one of two things. Hear me out. If you never make mistakes, it means one of two things. You're either not doing anything or you're dead. I read a survey not long ago that asked people at the end of their life what was one of the most things that they regretted the most. And you know what their response was? They regretted that they didn't take the chance to be better and do more. They regretted not stepping out in faith. Not one single person said anything about regretting their mistakes. Only that they didn't take more of a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith and don't worry about the mistakes. You're going to get it wrong. It happens. But as a believer, the Holy Spirit will show you the way of getting it right. And it comes from growth. I'd rather get it wrong and grow than don't do nothing at all. As we come to a close, I want to make one more point, very, very important point. God uses ordinary people to achieve extraordinary results. I'm going to say it again. God uses ordinary people to achieve extraordinary results. Ananias, you know what? He wasn't a powerful leader. He wasn't a powerful speaker. Heck, he was only mentioned in this one story in the entire Bible. He wasn't a megastar in his church. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a youth leader. wasn't the assistant pastor. He wasn't even an apostle or a prophet, as far as we know. He didn't sit on the church board. He wasn't even a deacon. He was just willing to be used by God. He was a willing believer that had faith. He was obedient, and he was committed. When the Lord spoke to Ananias, he could have made excuses. I probably would have. I did. In my life, when God called on me, I did make excuses. I spent almost a year making excuses. Right? We all make excuses when God comes calling on our life. Oh, Ananias, he could have done the same. He could have thought, you know what? There's no way this is the Lord's will. This is too crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's too dangerous. He could have thought, now you know what? I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. Now, why in the world would I want to go do something so foolish? Why even take that chance? Ananias, he could have thought, you know what? That old Saul, that guy that's been persecuting Christians, the one that's got permission to throw Christians in jail, he ain't worth it. I'm not sticking my neck out for him. He could have given up on Saul. But he didn't. Because Ananias stepped out in faith, because Ananias was obedient, because Ananias stayed committed, listen to me, he became part of the most powerful movement this world has ever saw. So I ask you, are you ready to be used by God as Ananias was? Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, God's on the move. Are you ready? God is on the move. Are you ready? Are you ready to step out in faith? Are you ready to be obedient? And are you ready to stay committed? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you. Thank you so much. So many times that as you prepare and you help me prepare throughout the week to bring a message on Sunday, sometimes it feels like I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to myself. And I know that there's people out there that you want to hear this, or you wouldn't have brought it to me. So Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the message. I thank you for every person that's listening or watching. I thank you for the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents. Lord, I thank you for our graduates. Lord, be with us as we go this week. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage to have that faith, to have that obedience, and to stay committed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? It's not always easy. It's not easy to have faith. It's not easy to be obedient. It's not easy to stay committed. But when you lean on God and you allow God to work through you, powerful things happen. And it's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to be a part of. If you listen to this message and you're thinking, you know, who are these people? Who is this Donnie? What is this church about? Check us out online. You can go to our website or Facebook. Check us out. But then you could be saying, you know what, I don't know who this Jesus is that Donnie, that you're talking about. I don't know who this God is that you're talking about. And if that's you, send us a text. Email us on our webpage. Hit us up on Facebook. And allow me to give you a call. Allow me to reach out to you and let you know what I know of Jesus and the miraculous work that he can do in your life. Thank you so much. God bless.